Picture a successful academic who spent decades avoiding the very thing his career demanded, public speaking. Paul Dolan, a behavioral scientist at the London School of Economics, lived with a debilitating stammer that consumed his thoughts and hijacked his attention. Yet this personal struggle led him to a radical discovery. Happiness isn't about fixing your problems or changing your circumstances. It's about redirecting where your mind goes. This insight, that our attention, not our situation, determines our happiness, challenges everything we've been told about finding fulfillment. The question isn't whether you have the right job, the right partner, or the right life. It's whether you're paying attention to the right things in the life you already have. Happiness requires both pleasure and purpose over time, not one or the other. The margarita by the pool delivers pure pleasure. Volunteering at the food bank provides purpose, even with an aching back. Binge-watching at 2 a.m. feels pleasurable but hollow. Grinding through pointless work crushes the soul. True happiness lives at the intersection. The documentary that makes you think while keeping you glued to the screen, the dinner party where conversation flows, the work project that challenges you meaningfully. Research reveals distinct categories. 60% are balanced folk who get pleasure from leisure and purpose from work. 10% are pleasure machines, chasing enjoyment everywhere. 30% are purpose engines, finding meaning even in entertainment. The catch? Happiness must be measured in time, your most finite resource, 1,440 minutes each day that can't be saved for later. When researchers track what people do and how they feel, patterns defy common wisdom. TV ranks highest for pleasure, but dead last for purpose. Work scores high on purpose, but lowest on pleasure. This explains why we collapse onto the couch despite knowing it won't satisfy us. We're seeking pleasure to balance the day's purpose. The twist? Doing almost anything with other people adds significant pleasure and even more purpose. Traditional happiness research asks people to rate overall life satisfaction, like judging a movie by its poster. Experience-based approaches reveal hidden truths. Beyond about $75,000 annually, more money doesn't increase day-to-day happiness, though it continues affecting life satisfaction. Most happiness advice treats life like a simple input-output machine. Add money, get happiness. Add marriage, get happiness. But this misses the crucial production process, the machinery that converts experiences into feelings. That machinery is your attention. Your brain operates through two systems. System 1 runs automatically beneath awareness. System 2 handles deliberate thinking. System 1 is always on and shockingly easy to manipulate. Fast food imagery makes you impatient. Athletes wearing red win 55% of Olympic fighting matches instead of 50%. Background music changes which wine you buy without you noticing. Behaviors create ripples. Exercise can lead to healthier eating or rewarding yourself with cake. Your actions are cascading chains that either build happiness or erode it. We also adapt as attention shifts away from changes. British residents showed severe mental health impacts after 9/11, but by December, the effects had vanished. This is why lottery winners return to baseline happiness. If happiness is about attention, why are we so bad at directing it? Because our brains evolved for survival, not for optimal happiness in modern society. Florists report 87% job satisfaction versus bankers at 44%. Achievement brings a dopamine hit that fades quickly, but daily experience determines actual happiness. We suffer from distinction bias, magnifying small differences during decisions that evaporate afterward. You agonize over which laptop to buy, but 6 months later, you barely remember what made them different. The peak end effect means we judge experiences almost entirely by their most intense moment and conclusion, ignoring duration completely. Most insidiously, we create self-serving narratives aligning with existing beliefs rather than reality. We're unreliable narrators constantly rewriting our stories. To overcome systematic errors in predicting happiness, seek feedback from direct experience and trusted people. Try reconstructing yesterday, dividing it into episodes with clear beginnings and endings. For each, note what you did, who you were with, and rate it for pleasure and purpose on a 0 to 10 scale. This happiness lens reveals mistaken desires. The TV show you watch from habit but don't enjoy, excessive work hours bringing neither pleasure nor purpose. Others' experiences predict your happiness better than your projections. Someone similar, who's already had kids, changed careers, or moved cities, can tell you more about how you'll feel than your imagination can. Consider letting trusted people make low-stakes decisions, which restaurant, movie, or route, freeing mental resources for what matters. But here's the paradox. Striving too intensely for happiness backfires. Constantly monitoring whether you're happy yet prevents happiness. Excessive focus on trauma locks in negative emotions rather than letting them fade naturally. Accept occasional sadness as natural, not pathological. The goal isn't permanent bliss, it's a favorable balance of pleasure and purpose over time. Context shapes behavior more powerfully than willpower. Design your environment to automatically direct attention toward happiness through small nudges, requiring minimal mental energy. Your surroundings prime behavior unconsciously. Citrus scents triple cleaning behaviors, while blue light suppresses melatonin and enhances alertness. Natural environments capture attention positively through subtle, constant changes that prevent adaptation. Even window views of nature improve hospital recovery rates and reduce workplace stress. Defaults are powerful because humans follow preset options. Change your browser homepage from social media to news. Set up automatic savings transfers. Choose passwords reflecting your goals. These tiny decisions save massive mental energy later. Public commitments dramatically increase follow-through. Tweet weight loss goals. Every 10 posts correlates with about a pound lost. Effective commitments focus on controllable goals. Start small and build incrementally. Don't commit to running a marathon tomorrow. Commit to a 10-minute jog today. Your social network profoundly influences happiness. Periodically cull social media connections, prioritizing people you genuinely care about. Spend more time with pleasure machines if life lacks joy, or purpose engines if it lacks meaning. Find companions for activities, like exercise. They make everything more enjoyable and purposeful. Once you've designed your environment for happiness, actively engage with your experiences. Being fully present leads to flow states where you lose track of time. Spend money on experiences rather than possessions. We adapt less quickly to experiential purchases, and they don't trigger social comparisons. Switch between pleasurable and purposeful activities as diminishing returns set in. This prevents adaptation and keeps attention fresh. Multitasking makes you less happy and less productive, though it ironically makes you feel more productive. Transform mundane experiences like commuting, listen to music, work on the train, or play quiz games with your kids. 20 minutes of comedy reduces stress as much as exercise, increasing infection-fighting antibodies and reducing loneliness. The single most reliable happiness booster: spend more time with people you like. Social contact strongly predicts happiness across every study. Match companions to contexts. Carpool with colleagues to make commuting purposeful. Watch TV with your kids to increase everyone's pleasure. Happiness exists only in the present. You can't bank it for later. Sacrificing current happiness for a future that never arrives is tragic. Small changes beat grand transformations. Rather than trying to become someone new, nudge yourself towards situations that make you happier. The word attention comes from Latin meaning reach toward. Reach toward experiences of pleasure and purpose. Notice what makes you happy, design your environment to support it, and actively engage when you're there. The more time you spend attending to things that make you happy, the happier you'll be. It's about pointing your attention in the right direction and keeping it there.